is from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. And you guys, we're going to continue. This is the first Sunday in June, but we are continuing with the series on grace. Grace upon grace. How many know we can't have too much grace? Amen. We can never have too much grace. So today we're talking about spiritual beings having a human experience and experiencing God's amazing grace. And I know I've said this before, but today we're going to talk about it. Just remind us what God's grace is for us. And God's grace is that acronym that says God's reconciling appreciation, compassionate care, and empowerment. And it is so beautiful that God reconciles us back to himself. God appreciates that. Y'all still feeling that? Can y'all just experience and understand and know that God appreciates us?
Amen.
And it's through and with his compassionate and compassionate care that we are empowered. So as we start on this aspect of the journey, we're going to talk about the types of graces. What do those graces look like? And those three graces are prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Three types of grace. Somebody repeat after me. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Let's start with prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is God's active presence in our life before we even sense that the divine is at work in us. Basically, what that means is before we ever knew that we had a need or that grace was even working for us, prevenient grace, that grace we don't even know we need, is already at work. Prevenient grace is that grace that comes before we even have a decision, make a decision. And I like this. It is the love of God wooing us, drawing us, and he is pursuing us. It's that gift of God that frees us. And that is the place and the beginning where God empowers us. And that's what we call prevenient grace. The second grace that we have this morning is justifying grace. How many know you've been justified? Look at somebody, say, justifying grace.
Justifying grace.
God's grace has justified us. Justifying grace is God making things right in us on our behalf. And because we have been more human beings rather than spiritual beings having a human experience, this image in which we have been created has been somehow distorted. So somehow we feel that we are somehow or have been something other than the image of God that he created in us. Remember, God said, let us make man in our image. But you know, from the day-to-day stresses in life, the day-to-day difficulties in our society, whatever comes, whatever goes, that image of who God created us to be has been distorted.
Amen.
But it's through justifying grace that God realigns us to our divine image of who God says we are. Not the statistics, not our status, not anything, but what it is God's image. And that's why we can go right to Romans 5:1 and receive these words that empower us and remind us of who God created us to be. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes we can't always be at peace with people, but God's reconciling grace reconciles us back to God and ourself. That's why Jesus told us when he gave us that new commandment, love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. See, because of God's justifying grace, that's why you have God, love God, love yourself, and our neighbors are in the middle, so that we can be empowered through his love to experience that love. And see, that's why sometimes we have to be at peace with God through Jesus Christ, so that we are able to keep going when our neighbor may not be able to be at peace with us. Amen, somebody? And not only that, this is one of my favorite scripture. Just repeat after me. Look at somebody, say, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, that means as spiritual beings having a human experience, we are able to get that balance. And see, whenever we walk in the flesh, i.e. our humanity, see, we can't get that spiritual message that we need. We cannot experience that justifying freedom, because sometimes our humanity, and that what has happened in our humanity, it may block us from the justifying grace that's already taking place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Therefore, let's repeat that again. Let's let that sink in. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what that also means is, I can't condemn you. You know why? Because there's no condemnation. But the flip side and the beautiful side of that edged, double-edged sword is you can't condemn me. But we have to remember this. We have to remember what God has said, what Jesus has paid for us to be in this place of no condemnation. Do you know why there is no condemnation, y'all? Because when we believe that when Jesus hung on the cross and he took that sin guilt that had nothing to do with him in his body for us, and that verdict that he received on our behalf was guilty, so court is adjourned. Somebody know about court. See, when you go to court, you have the trial. Did he not go from judgment hall to judgment hall? And he was in court, and they found him guilty. That was the verdict, and the price was his life for us. And I don't want to leave this out. Can look at somebody and say, and court is adjourned. Say it again, court is adjourned. So if court is adjourned, how are you going to be condemned in a place that's no longer in session? So there is no condemnation. I don't care who try to pull something out the bag. You just pull out your bag and say, Jesus paid it all. Court is adjourned. And I'm so grateful for the thing called justifying grace. Somebody say justifying grace. And after we experience that justifying grace, we go on to the next one that's called sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, if you know that sanctifying or sanctification is that which sets us apart for holiness. And this is God's grace. And it's God's grace that makes us holy. We may not feel holy, We can think about things that we are convinced we are so not holy. We are unholy. But sanctifying grace says not so, because it's God's grace that makes us. But it was a wise songwriter that said, I had to learn how to live holy. So there's a difference for us from us trying to do it in what God has already spoken over us as done. So sanctification is that spiritual infusion of God's grace that makes us holy and pleasing to God. And this is what allows and empowers us to live and be more like Jesus. Somebody say, thank God for sanctifying grace. And if you want to read up on what sanctifying grace really, really looks like, go to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 is the scripture where Jesus prays for us. Did y'all know Jesus prayed for us? In John chapter 17, we're told that Jesus prays for himself, his disciples, and those to come. And what Jesus prayed was, or is, that we would be one as he and the Father are one. And this is one of the lines from the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. How many of you know that God's word is truth? So if God says it, that settles it. It's a matter of us receiving it. So it is by us being sanctified with the truth that opens the door and makes the passageway a lot smoother for us to experience and learn to be one with the Father as Jesus was one, which is what he prayed for us. And y'all, that's what you call God's amazing grace. Yeah. Amen. Look at somebody say, that's God's amazing grace. Can't nobody do it like God. Can't nobody do it like God. And so let's just sum this up so we can remember these aspects of grace that just makes us one with him. And that first one is prevenient grace. And that is God's grace that comes to us not only before we know God, but before we even know we need him. He's already looking out for us while we are completely asleep. But it's the process of where we begin to awakening to his love and to his grace towards us. Prevenient grace is when we were asleep. Justifying grace, it is about that relationship between us and God that reconciles us with our relationship with God. And finally, sanctifying grace. That's the one. Like Hezekiah Walker said, won't he make you clean inside? Won't he make you clean inside? That's what sanctifying grace is, which leads on to perfecting grace. That's why I can stand up anywhere at any time and say, you are perfect. I am perfect. We are perfect. Jesus said, Matthew 5:48, you are perfect. Because see, it has nothing to do with our humanity. It has everything to do with his spirituality. It has everything to do with a closed courtroom. It has everything to do with his love that was poured out for us. It has everything to do with not only making us clean. Oh, it don't matter how you walk, you still kept clean. See, that's the part that throws me off. But court is adjourned. That our guilt, our memories. Who cares about the past? I can get with Paul when he says, forget what's behind. Because, honey, sometimes those chains and those burdens have you going around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. But in Christ Jesus, we can stand up. Oh, and we can praise him for something that happened long before we came on the scene. And it is called court is adjourned. So you look in the mirror and say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I will not even condemn myself, because that's not what Jesus said about me. That's not what Jesus done for me. And then 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, because you were sanctified and justified, not in anybody's name. Check the name. It ain't what you know, but who you know. We are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the spirit which cannot be touched of our God. Look at somebody and say, our God. Look at somebody and say, my Father. My Father. My Father. And I'm sorry, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. So whenever you hear people say, nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect, let the bell go off in your head and remind you, sanctifying grace says not so. Because see, if you can forgive and you can try to forget and if you can try to move forward and you can try to do right, that's what Jesus in Matthew 5:48 says is your perfection. Anybody here just could had to not hate somebody today? I mean, you just meant to just go ahead and take it and go on forever, but you was like, oh, Lord. Lord, I want to just, and then something come up on you. And you know, then you change your prayer. Okay, Lord, please don't let me have any hatred, any bitterness in my heart. Ooh, we, Jesus, you know they deserve it. Ooh, we, Lord, just let me get one shaking. Well, Jesus, will you just, Jesus says that's perfection. When you want to give them what they deserve, but the Holy Spirit and sanctifying grace pull you back and say, there's no condemnation for those who are Christ Jesus, who are in him. You don't have to condemn them. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to pray something happened to them. What we realize is the freedom, the peace, the joy of understanding Jesus ain't getting me for all of those things I done, Lord. I can let you out. Because there's no, if he ain't condemning me, guess what? We'll be all right. And my friend, that is called perfection. Perfecting grace. So the next time you hear somebody say, try to tell you you're not perfect, you just look at them and say, I don't agree, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you try to take away that which God has already gave me, I can't stand here and let you do it, because the fact that you want to say that I'm not perfect, that sounds like a little condemnation to me. And guess what? Unless you're going to sprout some nail prints, some thorns, and you got a side with a deep gashing hole in it, I really am not concerned about what you're trying to condemn me with. Because his blood says, case dismissed, case dismissed, case dismissed, court over, saved by grace. And y'all, that's something to be excited about, all right? And that's why we say 1% more spiritual, right, Judah? Amen. That's what 1% more spiritual make us feel. That's what 1% more spirit. We don't have to worry about 99 and a half won't do. We just took it somewhere by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Get up every day and say 1% more spiritual. Because 1% at the end of the year is 365%, which beats 99. I can't do math. It's basic. And Jesus said he paid it all. All you got to do is remember you are a spiritual being having a human experience. And you can't pay for the spirit that was shed for us. And that's why as spiritual beings having a human experience, we know that it is by God's amazing grace that keeps us more spiritual. Y'all believe that this morning? If you believe it this morning, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, just thank God for his amazing grace this morning. And because of that grace, we have the opportunity. Brother, will you help me out here? We're going to eat and drink on it. You know, whenever you have a good time and whenever you have really been in a place where, well, the event was something wonderful, but it just isn't quite right if the food ain't right. So today, we're going to eat and drink on it. How about that? Because in Hebrews 10:10, Paul says that it is by this will that we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Didn't have to go over and over and over. He did it once. He did it once. Once and not for some. Well, you know, I don't know about this right here because, you know, I don't know. You knew you got to pay for the judgment. Well, you have all kind of reasons why people try to convince you that you just can't receive redemption. But I believe it's summed up right here. The body of Christ was offered and paid for us. Not over and over again, but once. Once. And for every single one of us. Look at somebody and say, once and for all. Once and for all. And that's the beauty of grace. And so, as you receive the beauty of grace that has been poured out for us, thank you, in the bread and in the cup, let's just remember, he gave his life. His body, which is symbolized with the bread. He gave his blood that is symbolized in the wine, in the juice. And what that says at the end of the day, because it was poured out for us and for others. As you eat today, eat with a new mindset. I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And this right here, this says, and it's sealed for me, that there is no longer no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. May we eat and drink together. As this is a new beginning and we're sending off our sister Malaysia, eating and drinking into knowing there's no condemnation, we go forth also being reminded, strengthened, refreshed, renewed, knowing it is God's amazing grace. God's amazing. That's why it's so amazing. Because it doesn't make sense. Please stand with me. If somebody here would like to have a moment of prayer, just stand. Everybody, close your eyes. Close your eyes, bow your head, and just open your hands in surrender. See, I love the surrender motion. We release to God that which no longer serves us, that which has been condemning us. We release it, surrender it to Him. And now our hands are wide open to receive that grace that He has, that not anyone can give like He does. So let's just stand here for a moment. Last week, we imagined Jesus coming into the bedroom and washing our feet so that we would be prepared for this journey of grace. Him looking into our eyes and saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased." And as He cleansed our feet last week, He is feeding us the same way He did His disciples today, to strengthen us for the journey, knowing that there is no condemnation because we are His precious children. So just in the quiet, think of His grace. Oh, think about your waters of baptism, washing and washing and washing and washing. In this sacred holy meal that we have just shared in together, bread of heaven, thank You for feeding us. Ever-flowing river of life, thank You for cleansing and giving us to drink. Because of Your grace, our cup overflows, knowing that You love us beyond anything. Unconditional love in action through Your grace. Thank You for Your grace. Lord, right now, God, we thank You for Your grace. Oh, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, taking care of us whenever we didn't even know we need You. Justifying us so that nobody can put us in a court situation again. And Lord, for sanctifying us so that we are strengthened and made holy to go on to live into who You say we are, aligned with the truth of Your amazing grace that sees nothing, nothing but the beautiful, perfect, whole, and complete child in whom You are very well pleased. And for this we say thank You. Remind us daily, there's no condemnation, there's no condemnation, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation, Jesus. And that's why we say thank You for Your amazing grace. Feel His arms around you, sealing it, locking it in, establishing, reassuring, assuring, reminding us His amazing grace that sanctifies us, making us one with the Father, one with the Son. Keep your hands lifted as we receive this benediction and we go forth thanking God for that amazing grace. For it is out of his fullness that we have received grace in place of grace already given. For Christ's abundance, we have all received one gracious blessing after another and another and another. For it is from Christ's fullness we have all received grace upon grace upon grace. And may you go forth walking in and knowing that you have God's amazing grace. Amen.